You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into the latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sadry. I'm joined by Kevin Bowen, the versatile do-it-all reporter over at 107.5 10 Cent The Fan. He's a Colts beat writer, covers Patriots as well. He also fills in sometimes on the radio. He has his own podcast, Kevin's Corner. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
Doing great, Evan. How you doing?
Doing well. And like we were just talking about off the air here, a very busy last week or so for this Colts organization. But really, we're going to have the big stuff as far as retirements go for Philip Rivers and how the quarterback was just going to play out this offseason. But first off, let's get to some house cleaning notes of the Colts, because some interesting news yesterday, one I didn't actually think was going to happen. I thought it'd be more so maybe Matt Eberflus gets a job first over Nick Sirianni. But Nick Sirianni is the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was hired yesterday to replace Doug Peterson. And then Marcus Brady, internal promotion a couple hours later on that day, it was announced by Chris Mortensen that the Colts officially promoted Marcus Brady, their quarterback coach, to offensive coordinator. First off, Kevin, let's talk about Nick Sirianni. What kind of impact did he have on this Colts offense, and what do you think of him going to Philadelphia?
You know, his impact, it's a little bit hard to define, but I would say mostly heavily involved in the game plan each week. I would say a different sounding board for Frank Reich than, you know, maybe Marcus Brady. I think Nick's got a little bit of different background, more at the receiver position, and just a different temperament, I think, as well than Frank Reich. And then lastly, I think if you saw on game day, there was a lot of interaction on the sidelines. If you saw Nick Sirianni on the sidelines, again, he's a much different personality and a little bit of fire to him versus kind of the stoic nature of Frank. I was a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, just because this is a guy that, you know, hasn't called plays in the NFL. Again, a lot of people kind of call him a quarterback, whatever, guru, whisperer. But he really hasn't coached the quarterback position that much. I think he's, again, mostly been a receiver. And now all of a sudden he's going to go to a job that, you know, comes with a heavy expectation in that Philadelphia market. And obviously major concerns the quarterback position right now. So clearly Frank Reich vouched for him big time. That matters in that organization. But this is a bit of a risk. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, ripping Nick or anything like that, because I do think he's an extremely personable guy. I think he'll relate to players instantly from day one, and that's half the battle. But again, from his game day responsibility and the accountability that comes off of that, reacting to that accountability, he just didn't have much of that here in Indy, and that's just part of his game day job. Now he's going to get a lot of that in Philly with that market, that fan base, and that media contingent as well.
I don't know about you, Kevin, but it just feels like ever since – the Colts had a strong first year, Frank Reich, in 2018-19, that it seems like Philadelphia has always had some sort of regret about letting Frank Reich out of their building and choosing going with Doug Peterson as their head coach. I know you won a Super Bowl with them, but keeping Frank Reich in the building, letting him go to Indianapolis, and seeing him do very well for himself over these last 3 years, I think probably stinks Philadelphia a little bit. They can't get Frank Reich after firing Doug Peterson, so why not get his right-hand man, so to say? Does this sort of feel like sort of an overcorrection in that sort of way?
Yeah, that's an interesting way that you put it, but I agree with a lot of what you said. I think specifically, really, it's just the drop-off with Carson Wentz. Now, I know they're not in a great cap situation either, and that's far out of Doug Peterson's control. And you know, Nick and Frank have a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences too. You know, I mean, Frank was an offense coordinator in San Diego. He was an offense coordinator in Philly. You know, before taking this job, he called the plays in San Diego. You know, he's an ex-NFL quarterback, you know, under Marv Levy, you know, behind Jim Kelly. Like, it's just – it's not as seamless as I think a lot of people think it is. And then I go back to what I said earlier. I mean, you know, Frank Reich is coming to Indianapolis. Nick Sirianni is going to Philadelphia. I mean, again, you talk about, you know, their ability to run people out of town. I mean, Doug Peterson just won a Super Bowl a couple years ago, and now he is unemployed, and it comes from a coaching tree that, you know, is a Hall of Fame coach. And Andy Reid as well. So I'm happy for Nick. Again, I think he's a really good guy. I hope he works out. I hope he succeeds. But I got to be real with you, and I am just a little bit skeptical about it.
This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively already on January 18th at BlueNile.com. So that means it's already out, Colts fans. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Again, BlueNile.com. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's even more delicious. They have 6 new flavors to go with the original 12 that make a great tasting a range of 18 flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious guy as well. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for a keto diet. For example, a peanut butter Built Bar has 19 grams of protein, only 5 grams of sugar, all in 180 calories. A great tasting snack that will tide you over throughout the day. With a free cooler with your next purchase while supplies last at Built Bar, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to Nick Sirianni. Hopefully they have patience there in Philadelphia. But Kevin, I think me and you both know that that market does not have much patience at all. So hopefully Carson Wentz can turn around for them there in Philadelphia. Sirianni can get in his ear a little bit, or Sirianni could be on the hot seat pretty soon in Philadelphia. But let's tell him Marcus Brady, the reports yesterday, like I mentioned, Chris Mortensen said that the Colts promoted Marcus Brady, their quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator. I know Brady was getting looks in Houston and Jacksonville as well for the offensive coordinator positions. What do you think about Marcus Brady, Kevin? What do you know about behind the scenes about Brady? Because it seems like, from all indications, I know Albert Breer and Mortensen both mentioned that people around the league view Brady as a rising star in this industry. What's your overall assessment of Marcus Brady?
Yeah, you know, a couple things stand out about Marcus. First off, like I was kind of pointing out earlier, his temperament, I think, is very similar to Frank Reich. You know, stoic to a degree. You know, I think both of them kind of have just similar values as a human being, things like that. As far as what he was doing, you know, quarterback-wise with this staff, you know, huge into the fundamentals. You know, when Andrew Luck came back in 2018, he made it very clear that, you know, it's kind of rebuilding the base of his fundamentals, you know, kind of feet up, lower body especially. I think Marcus really drilled that home. I think he did some footwork differences with Jacoby Brissett. And then Jacob Eason was a huge kind of, you know, I don't know, prodigy isn't the right word, but certainly – kind of a pupil under him this past year, because for the first time in a while, you know, the Colts really had this young quarterback that wasn't going to get a lot of practice reps or preseason reps, and they really need to create, you know, just kind of more experiences for him, whether that be additional film room work or, you know, throwing sessions off to the side, or, you know, heavy kind of pregame throwing sessions as well. And I think Marcus kind of took Jacob under his wing a little bit with that, and that was just a much different approach than how you had to coach the two other guys in the room, and Jacoby and Phillip. Game plan-wise, you know, Frank, again, is very collaborative with his weekly game plans. I think Marcus, you know, sat down with Ryan Kelly and sat down with Phillip Rivers a lot, and, or I guess even whoever the pass quarterback was, and just huge focus on the pass protection and how that plan would look week in and week out, how it would be executed on game day. And I think Marcus – was a big, big part of that. Obviously, he comes from the CFL. You know, I think the Colts are the only NFL team I believe he's coached for. So a little bit different league up there from a player, from a coach, and how things are, you know, taught and certainly kind of schemed up on game day, but just with different rules. But, yeah, clearly someone that's made a strong impression on Frank Reich and made a strong impression even around the league. You know, when you saw what I think Jacksonville looked at him to be their OC, I assume that would have involved calling plays. And, you know, that's a nice rise. You know, he was assistant quarterbacks coach 2 years ago, and now he could have been calling plays for the number one overall pick. So, again, that is something that I thought was interesting to me and intrigued me. Having said that, this is still an offensive coordinator position where you aren't calling the plays, and this is Frank Reich's offense. So it's a notable hire. It is one of your coordinators. He is going to have a lot of say in kind of weekly game plan and probably going to have the first ear of Frank Reich, whether that be, again, Monday through Saturday or certainly on game day as well. But at the end of the day, we know full on who takes on the brunt of the responsibility with this offense and with play calling. That's,
I don't know if you know anything kind of behind the scenes or not about this, but I remember with the Colts, sometimes they don't fill a position, sometimes they do. I know Mike Groh was brought in last year. I added him on the staff to be a wide receivers coach, assistant coach on the offensive side.
Do you expect anything to happen there with Marcus Brady's position at quarterback coach? I think Brady will take on both roles of quarterbacks and the offensive coordinator itself.
Yeah, it's a good question, Evan. I think a lot of it is just going to be the domino effect of Nick Sirianni and the staff that, you know, he tries to assemble in Philly as well. I mean, do you see promotions, you know, from position coaches? I know you brought up, I think, Jonathan Gannon maybe earlier. You know, Jonathan Gannon, does he get promoted, you know, to go be the DC somewhere else? You know, does a position coach for the Colts get promoted to go be the OC in Philadelphia? Is Nick Sirianni getting a call plays in Philly as well? So, you know, I'd say there are a lot of offensive coordinators. A lot might be a little bit too extreme of a statement, but there are definitely several offensive coordinator posts around the league that also are the quarterback coach as well. You know, I think it's a post that I believe Bruce Arians had in his first season here with Andrew Luck. And so I could easily see, you know, Marcus doing that, knowing that Frank Reich, you know, can also help out in that area. And you could, you know, have another guy be the quarterback's coach as well. Kevin Petullo is a passing game specialist. You know, is he a guy that, you know, finds a home again in a little bit more of a defined role with Nick's staff? So we'll see. You know, I thought it'd be kind of either Brady or Groh getting the call up. And obviously sounds like Brady. But, you know, Jason Michael, the tight ends coach, has past coordinator experience too. So I think it'll be an interesting kind of next couple, you know, 5 or 10 days to see, again, the plucking from the Indy staff with what happens with Matt Eberflus in Houston. The, you know, what Nick Sirianni staff ends up looking like in Philadelphia as well. And then just by the time, you know, the end of January, kind of middle of February gets here, I think you'll finally have kind of a locked in staff and then full on free agency draft prep from there.
Speaking of Matt Eberflus, Kevin, let's hit on him now. He's a finalist for the Houston Texans coaching job. I think Eric Bieniemy is in that list as well. Leslie Frazier, the Bills defensive coordinator. Do you have any sense about what's going to happen there with Eberflus in Houston? Because it seems like from all indications that the Texans are very interested in Matt Eberflus. They made a late push for him after he initially declined an interview. He got in there after Nick Caserio was hired, and then I officiated an interview last week. Do you think there's a really strong chance that Eberflus goes to Houston? And if he does, how does that change his defense?
You know, I think he's definitely a legit candidate. I would say before the Caserio camp took over, he was a candidate originally of, you know, I think a lot of people have come to know the search firm Korn Ferry and their involvement with the Texans search. You know, I think he was a guy on their list originally. And then I think Nick Caserio and that New England tree obviously thinks somewhat of Eberflus, because remember, that was a Josh McDaniels hire originally for the Colts, one of those three hires. And Chris Ballard, you know, had a big say in that as well with the Rod Marinelli relationship. So I do think there is some intrigue there. You know, Deshaun Watson has been public in his praise of Matt Eberflus and kind of facing those defenses. I think the two caught up after, I think it was maybe the first meeting this year down there in Houston as well. And, you know, it seems like the advantage from Houston, they're looking really closely, it seems like, at Leslie Frazier and Matt Eberflus, would then come from Tim Kelly, their offensive coordinator, staying there. And that's somebody that Watson really likes. I think they've denied access for some teams to interview Kelly. And, you know, that'd be a lateral move for Kelly, considering he's the OC in Houston right now. But it gets a big part of, you know, can you appease Deshaun a little bit with keeping that offensive staff, or at least the offensive coordinator, and system largely in place as well. So a little bit skeptical just about, you know, hiring a defensive mind, because again, if you have a great year with Watson and then all of a sudden Kelly moves on, now you're kind of starting over with that offensive system. I think it's a big reason why a guy like Sirianni, you know, jumps some people potentially on that, you know, head coaching list, whether it be a Todd Bowles or a Leslie Frazier or Matt Eberflus, because so many people are infatuated just with that offensive system and getting that in place and keeping it in place, no matter, you know, who your coordinators are. So, you know, Flus's name definitely is still there. And I think what stands out about Flus too is, you know, while I am a little bit skeptical about him, you know, taking on a head coach responsibility, I do think he has a very clear culture, effort, standard, whatever you want to call it, that he wants to be created, and certainly has done that here in Indianapolis with this defense, and considering the issues in Houston right now, that would seemingly be attractive to them.
Last one here on the coaches before we move on to Phillip Rivers and what happens this offseason at quarterback, Kevin. If Eberflus, let's say, does leave for Houston, do you think the Colts would do like a Marcus Brady on the defensive side? Do you know of anyone over on the coordinator staff over there or the defensive side that can make sense in an internal promotion?
Well, I think two guys stand out to me. One would be Alan Williams. You know, he was a defensive – he's, I think, the only guy on staff that has been a defensive coordinator in the NFL, you know, current safeties coach for the Colts. Yes, Malik Hooker, you know, hasn't really worked out, but, you know, his development, I think, of Kari Willis and Julian Blackman are a couple things that stand. And then Jonathan Gannon would be the other name. Now, again, what happens to Gannon? You know, does he – if I'm not mistaken, I think he was interviewing with the Chargers as well, and you know, we'll see what happens in Philly too. You know, does he get plucked by somebody else? I know a lot of people have said that Dave Borgonzi, the linebackers coach, I think a lot of that just comes from Eberflus being the linebackers coach, but I don't know, maybe you want a little bit of history in the league as a guy that's, you know, called some defensive plays. Granted, Williams hasn't done it for several seasons. It was, I think, 2012, 2013 in his Minnesota tenure that he did that. But I've been, you know, pretty vocal about this. I'd be stunned if they went out of the tree too far. I mean, I can't see this defense being overhauled by any means from a scheme or, you know, even just that really kind of their approach as well. It would seem that Chris Ballard's been pretty adamant that, you know, we're going to draft and recruit, if you will, to this personnel and to this scheme, and it's the best for indoors and it's the best for Super Bowl teams trying to play indoors and all of that. So. But again, these are all just interesting dominoes. And I tweeted out, I think yesterday, Evan, that, you know, the Colts have had their coordinators and their head coach and even their GM in place, and that includes Bubba Ventrone on special teams, since 2018. I think there's only four other teams in the league that have kept those spots, again, intact over that time. So it's rare in today's NFL to keep the head coach, the OC, the DC, and the special teams coordinator all in one place for so long. But it's what happens when you have a little bit of success. And, you know, certainly this is just part of the process of retooling and, you know, trying to maintain culture and leadership, which, you know, you're also losing, you know, two of your captains this year and potentially more.
Are you ready to make some bets? BetOnline.ag is the place to go if you want to do that. If you sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag, use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for your 50% off welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus over at betonline.ag with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Let's hit on Phillip Rivers now, Kevin. How surprised were you on Wednesday morning when that news broke? Because, I mean, I was telling you all year when you were on the show, like, what's your chance of Phillip Rivers being on a Colts quarterback next year? Because he was playing very well throughout most of the season. I thought it was almost a lock, even though he had an emotional end of his press conference after the Buffalo loss. But, Kevin, did that catch you off guard a little bit on Wednesday morning when you woke up to that news of Phillip Rivers being retiring from the NFL and now the Colts really having to be in a position where they have to definitely find a future QB1 for 2021?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it didn't. You know, I think – I don't know the last time you and I talked on your podcast, but certainly I mentioned this on mine of, you know, kind of early December, I thought, oh, yeah, Phil's coming back. I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't the week one starter. And then really as December moved along and even into early January, you know, I got a lot closer to 50-50. You know, I think I maybe said on the podcast like 60-40, he comes back. But I just had – just confidence just wasn't there from, you know, some people I was talking to, and then, you know, heard from a pretty good source on Tuesday night that this was going to happen on Wednesday morning, just wasn't able to confirm it. And obvious reasons, I know full well how the Andrew Luck situation played out. I think the Colts did their best to try and not have that happen again. And clearly Phillip had a very specific plan and how he wanted that to be announced, which I totally respect. So I wasn't stunned, but having said that, I'm still a bit surprised just because I just felt like he's so, so passionate. His oldest son is not yet in high school. He just moved his family, you know, to Indianapolis. I thought he'd run it back for one more year. Now, I'm curious to see Anthony Costanzo retirement, how that played into maybe some of his decision-making. His family's dealing with a little bit of COVID stuff right now. You know, who knows? Was that just another thing you'd put on the con list, even though Phillip never even thought about opting out last year? So, again, I thought, you know, he played at a pretty good level this season and how crushing that playoff loss was. And knowing that is kind of the missing piece on the resume. And clearly we're seeing, you know, guys like, you know, Big Ben and Drew Brees hang on, and even Peyton probably hung on a little bit longer than, you know, the level of play that Phillip achieved this season. Yeah, I thought he would run it back one more year, but his incredible passion to coach high school football and to coach his sons and to get down to Alabama even a year before his oldest son will be in high school is what won out in the end.
What happens next now, Kevin? I know the Colts are going to explore every option possible, whether it be the draft, free agency, trades. I know a lot of Colts fans have been talking about Matthew Stafford recently. Sam Darnold might be an intriguing trade option as well. If you move to free agency, maybe you just re-sign Jacoby Brissett at that point. I don't know if a lot of Colts fans will like that one, but it just seems like looking at that free agency quarterback list, it's very barren right now. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick has a journeyman on a one-year deal if you draft someone. Can make sense to mentor, but not really a lot there. And then the draft as well. I know, Kevin, you've been all aboard the draft plan, but now it's really in the overdrive now. If you want to get your future franchise quarterback, this is the year to do it without Phillip Rivers on board. I mean, what do you think happens next, and what would you do?
Yeah, again, like you just said, I'm all in on the draft. Now, I know full well that's me talking and not the Colts talking. You know, knowing Jim Irsay, you know, I would think he'd be more kind of in the veteran quarterback route. But, you know, really, as you were laying out there, I mean, who makes sense? Who makes sense to the point where you feel like you can play right now? You know, which quarterback can be your guy in 2021 to where if we had this conversation on, you know, January 22nd, 2022, your team would still be playing in the playoffs? And really, if you look at the realistic list, outside of Stafford, I don't feel confident with anybody. And I'm talking free agency or trade-wise. So I think that's just the honest conversation you have to have as an organization of, we don't even know if Stafford's going to be traded. You know, and so if he's not, which direction are you going? In my mind, and while I look here and say, yeah, Jacoby Brissett, it's shockingly a possibility. Just in no way, shape, or form, if your expectations are to win a Super Bowl in the immediacy, can Jacoby Brissett be your quarterback in 2021? And again, I know that might sound harsh, but that to me is not the level at the most important position in sports that you should be trying to obtain. So that's why I, you know, it only adds to the reasons that I've said now for really several years, you know, certainly post Andrew Luck, that you've got to go out and try to find that guy. And, you know, last year, I understand the reasoning behind trading for DeForest Buckner and all of that. At 13 overall, were you in a better position to potentially trade up? Certainly. But again, you felt like that you needed an all-pro at defensive tackle, and Buckner certainly achieved that this year for you. And now at 21 overall, you're a little bit in a worse spot. It's, I think, a little bit of a better quarterback class. But now I think you're kind of showing your cards a little bit more with the fact that you don't have that definite starter in place. So there are no great answers from the sense of, like, it just checks every box. You need Detroit to, you know, play with you, if you will, to be able to pull that off. And that's no guarantee either. So it's going to be fascinating, Evan. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how it plays out. And for the first time in over, you know, really two decades, we sit here right now. And, yeah, I guess Rivers last year, but you know, I think there were some signs pointing to that. We have no idea who the Colts quarterback is going to be in week one.
Crazy to say with just how stable it was for some of the Peyton and Andrew Luck. But over the last couple of years, like you mentioned, Kevin, a revolving door there. And Frank Reich, he's going to probably have his fourth straight year of a starting quarterback since he's joined the Colts organization. So going to be really interesting to watch there, Kevin. Let me ask you this, just about the quarterback position. This draft class, I know you haven't really dove in much yet, but a really good point you brought up on your podcast on Wednesday was this Colts roster, if they didn't take a young quarterback, they're not exactly in win-now mode. You have a young core that is win-now, so to say. You have a lot of guys entering their primes, but they're very young that a young quarterback could grow with. Can you explain that a little bit more just to listeners out there? Because I think it was a really good point you brought up that I know a lot of Colts fans think, hey, this our Super Bowl window is open, but I think Kevin honestly might have just opened.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, I should have probably had you on the podcast and said that. I would say the door is like, I don't know, whatever, 45 degrees open, and it can continue to open even more. You know, look at the young guys, and I rattled off all of them. I won't bore your listeners with rattling off the same list, but you know the guys we're talking about. Look at the last three or four drafts. Look at the trade for a Buckner. Look at the waiver claim for Kenny Moore. Brian Kelly thrown into that mix as well. No one is over the age of 28. You have so many good to great football players, age 22 to 28, on this roster. So I think I mentioned this on my podcast, but like, this is not the Colt team of 2009, 2010, and then all of a sudden everything falls apart in 2011 and after that of the rebuild. You don't have these like 32, 33-year-old, you know, this is it folks, one last act, enjoy it while you can. No. I think this is a show that we can watch for 5 to 7 years. Now, would drafting a quarterback, would you have to maybe take a step back then to take multiple steps forward? Certainly. No way am I acting like drafting a rookie quarterback instantly improves you in 2021. But I think you could reap the benefits in 2022, 3, 4, et cetera, to where that rookie contract is still, you know, very much in your favor. And you're able to maintain a lot of those other guys who, yeah, they could be reaching a second contract. But if you play the, you know, salary cap game right, you can, again, keep and retain a lot of those guys. You know, I certainly mentioned the AFC quarterbacks. You know, there's so many of them on their rookie deals or about to be drafted, i.e. the Jags, i.e. the Jets as well. And they're going to be, you know, into that mix to where they think they have their guy as well. And look at the final four AFC teams here. You know, all four of them have their guys that either are on rookie contract ages on their rookie contracts or, you know, are just generational talents like Patrick Mahomes. So I think that just kind of adds to the reason why I'm a fan of going down that route. And I think it's a pretty good 2021 quarterback class. I think there's really four signal callers that stand out to me. And yeah, you're going to have to probably get pretty high to get to that point. But I also think as an organization, you are in a little bit more of a quality over quantity with draft picks. There are other needs remaining on that list. You can't cross all of them off in one off season, but if you're able to do that at quarterback, it can help you mask some things with the full notion that once you draft that quarterback, it doesn't stop. You have to continue to draft well, and you're probably going to draft well when you're drafting in the 20s like you are this year. And that's something that, you know, a team like Baltimore has done so well and a big reason why they've been able to win to that level.
Last one I have for you, Kevin. Appreciate the time as always. I mean, looking at this offseason for Chris Ballard, Costanza retires, so you get to replace left tackle. Quarterback retires in Philip Rivers, you get a new QB1. You have a lot of free agents on the board that are actual starters that contributed a lot last year. I feel like we keep saying this every year, Ken, but now this might be the most important offseason of Chris Ballard's tenure so far in Indianapolis. I mean, what a journey so far. What a tough road, tough sledding it's been for Chris Ballard in this seat. But, I mean, from all indications so far from what he's done in his first 4 years, I think he's prepared for it.
You know, it's funny, Evan. A lot of people have said that, and I have referenced it before. I also thought last offseason was huge. Like, you know, anytime you don't have the future in place at quarterback, it's a massive, massive offseason. Now, last year, did you have the amount of notable free agents of your own that you had this year? No. But you had the 13th overall pick, you had the additional second rounder, and you made some pretty significant moves. I mean, you traded the 13th overall pick for Buckner. You signed Philip Rivers for $25 million on 1 year. You draft a receiver at 34 overall. You trade up for Jonathan Taylor. You draft a quarterback for the first time in umpteenth years. I think all 31 teams had drafted a quarterback since the Colts last took Chandler Harnish with that final pick in 2012. So, again, I don't want to lose sight of what last year meant and what it means to your future moving forward. But I will continue to say this. Until you have quarterback, you think you have it solved, every offseason is going to be monumental and massive, and you never know when. You know, if you would have asked Chiefs fans or Texans fans the night of the 2017 draft, is this going to be the night where your franchise is shaped for the next 15 years and, you know, potentially forever, honestly, which might seem like a hyperbolic statement, but, I don't think it is really when you look at the potential success those franchises could have, and Kansas City is already starting to have. So, you just never know when, and you really don't know when, honestly, until that draft really starts to unfold. And we'll see how the Colts, you know, play out the free agency and trade process here. But it's massive, and Chris has had so much success in building this roster and dealt with tons of adversity at different steps. And unfairly or fairly, your GM tenure is often defined by what you do at quarterback. It's just the reality of that position in sports, and he's been dealt some interesting blows at that position. I don't really think the Rivers thing is that big of a blow. I think, you know, you always thought when you sign a 39-year-old quarterback, you know that he could retire, and so here you are. And like I said on Wednesday's podcast, Rivers was incredible in his approach to the game, and I think he did a lot for that locker room. But for those of you that think about long-term and believe in that, I think this is a blessing in disguise. It might not feel that way at times in 2021, but it forces you to acknowledge long-term a little bit more And I think that's a good thing.
Kevin, always enjoy talking with you, man. You guys go follow him on Twitter if you're not already at KBowen1070. Go read and listen to his work as well over at 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. His podcast, Kevin's Corner, I listen to it all the time whenever it drops on iTunes, wherever you listen to it. Great stuff Kevin does over there. So, Kevin, appreciate the time, and we'll probably have you back on again here soon and talk more often.
Yeah, thank you for the kind words, Evan. If I don't talk to you before, enjoy championship weekend and the Super Bowl.